Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Folks, open your hearts.
Loosen your butts.
It's time
for couples therapy.
I thought we would do it together. The thing at the end.
I thought you were going to do it's time for couples therapy.
Let's do open your hearts and do not edit any of this out together. Okay. So folks, open your hearts.
Loosen your butts.
It's time for couples therapy.
Yeah. This podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious uncoupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new Jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's couples therapy, couples therapy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Naomi.
My name is Andy.
And we're a real-life couple.
Real-life couple of comedians doing ASMR.
You're doing ASMR. And on Couples Therapy, we answer a couple of different questions from a couple of different listeners. Y'all, Andy is rubbing his little eyes, which he do when he is simply... When he can't even.
We ain't all there. I did not sleep last night.
At the time you will be listening to this, we will... be wed.
We will be man and woman. Is that how it's called? Husband and wife?
I was actually going to say woman and husband.
Woman and husband.
We'll be woman and husband at the time of your listening.
It's so funny how all this stuff is so like traditionally gendered in such like an 18th century way.
It's so sick. But
it truly is.
But right now, at the time of our recording, we are 5 days away from the big day. Yeah. Okay? My mama lands tomorrow. Andy's parents land tomorrow. The family rolls up Wednesday. It starts, okay? It starts, which is why we're recording now. You are getting us in the last moment of privacy, I would say. Because it's not calm. It's not quiet. It's privacy.
My brain is pudding, though.
I know it is. That's why I'm doing most of the talking.
Genuine pudding.
I'm really trying to help, okay? Because you really are.
You know what? No. We are to be man and woman, okay? We are to be...
woman and husband. Correct.
Woman and husband. Okay, you know what? You know what? I'm taking 50% of the talking. I'm not just gonna drop in your lap and say, here, you handle this.
Well, I thought it would be a gift to you. A gift to you is for me to handle it if your brain is like, what is it, figgy pudding? Isn't that a British pudding? Figgy.
Kidney pie?
Exactly.
It is a pint, 2 pints and a packet of crisps. My brain is
That sounds delicious.
Mushy peas. I was watching some British show where they were eating mushy peas, and I had to look that up, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if it... Here, British listeners.
Yep.
UK listeners.
Yep.
Maybe this is particularly only English listeners. Tell us, are mushy peas good or bad?
Yes.
Because I could not tell from the descriptions. I could not tell. You're supposed to dunk your chips in it, Naomi.
Uh-huh. You know what it is, though? I know me.
Not your crisps, your chips.
I think I would like mushy peas. I could totally see myself liking a mushy pea. Fish, chips, and a mushy pea? Yeah, that might pop off for me. I like stuff like that. I like savory baby foods.
Not me. I'm going to go I'm going to get a curry takeaway.
Okay, I'm going to go to Nope, don't do more British things.
I'm going to go to Nando's. Is that a place or is that just a character on What We Do in the Shadows?
Well, that's Nandoor. All right. That's not What We Do in the Shadows. I think you are referencing a store chain in the UK. You guys were insane.
They got a Gristini's over there?
I hope not. We should barely have them here.
They got a Giant Eagle. That's a Pittsburgh particular supermarket chain. All right, Naomi. Hey, before we get into today's episode, before we get into a matrimonial kind of context. I want to read this. You know, we've asked our listeners, even though the contest is over, we had a contest where we said, please write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. And in the description, in the review, please tell us the worst person you ever dated or worst person you went on a date with, whatever.
Yeah.
And even though the contest is over, we still want you to do that.
We love the reviews. They're a joy to read. Also, any 5-star review you leave helps the show. So you can do this. Costs you nothing. Takes 30 seconds, depending on how much detail you want to give us, quite frankly. And it means the world to us. So please keep the reviews coming. The person who won, because they did date somebody who chopped a lizard with a sword, you will be getting your couples therapy prize pack. But you got to know, your girl, your boy, we a little busy right now. Okay? So you getting this prize pack after the wedding on the other side of things. Okay? But we got you.
We'll email you a tracking number.
Oh, yeah. You'll get a tracking. But just letting you know, we have not forgotten. We keep our word. But you know, it's a little bit. You behind.
This one comes to us from someone named Dork Queen.
Dork Queen. I love it. Thank you, Dork Queen.
I love this review. It says, in hindsight, seeing the man I just started dating get into a shouting match with the Walmart greeter was a huge red flag.
Now, what I love about this, okay, first of all, thank you for the 5-star review.
Thank you.
This is almost a haiku. Mm-hmm. It's a poem. Mm-hmm. It is spare and yet rich. Mm-hmm. It tells us so much without telling us anything at all. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, okay, fight with a Walmart greeter. I mean, that is explosive as a phrase.
To yell at anyone in a big box store.
Come on.
To yell at anyone, let alone
the greeter.
The greeter. The elderly person standing at the front.
The person whose job it is to say, like, thanks for coming in. Yeah. Literally, they ain't supposed to do nothing but say hi. I need to know. I mean, what would lead to fighting? What could have been done or said to get things to that high of a level?
Maybe they were dating a libertarian and they're like, you don't greet me. You don't greet me. I'm a sovereign citizen. No one greets me.
Oh my God, Dork Queen, please tell us if this is a libertarian. Because
is this New Hampshire?
Where is it happening? I mean, it could be. That's wild. But yeah, that is a red flag. That is a red flag. Because they always say too, right? It's like, watch the way someone talks to a waiter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That'll let you know who they are. It's like, this is even like the greeter. Like, literally, they couldn't mess up your fish. Mm-hmm. There's no reason for you to be yelling at the greeter like this. So you know what? That's a huge red flag. It's huge. It's intense. Yeah.
Also,
it's insane.
A server couldn't mess up here. Unless you've been rude to the server already, and while they're taking out your food, they spit in it, right?
Exactly.
They can't mess it up. They're not in charge of it. So why would you?
Yeah, why would you be yelling anyway?
Unless you're a sovereign citizen. Are you a sovereign citizen, folks? Yes. Couples Therapy is becoming a libertarian podcast.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
There's so much going on in our lives and in Andy's brain right now. Now, we have a great episode, so we want to get into that. But as everyone, you know, who has shared our wedding journey, people who are interested, people who care, just a reminder that you can hear more wedding info on our Patreon. Patreon, again, it's like, that's where we get to go deep. It's where we don't have a guest. It's just me and Andy. So if you enjoy us and think that, you know, we're worth listening for, join the page. Patreon.com/couplestherapypod. Just $5. You get 2 bonus episodes a month, and we dive deep. We dive deep. I'm naming and shaming. I am letting it all out. So just a little heads up for you, okay, mm-hmm. If you're interested. And if not, honey, don't worry. Don't worry. We'll continue to give you pearls, okay? We will. And quite honestly, the fact is the episodes are bangers on the free feed. So there's really no, you know what I mean? It's a win either way. And speaking of winners, okay, speaking of bangers, today's ep is an episode that was a long time coming.
Yeah,
we were trying to make it happen. We finally got them, and it was so wonderful to sit down and talk. You've already heard their dulcet tones, honey. The one, the only, Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero. Now come on.
Yeah, maybe you remember when we were on their podcast. Do you remember that?
Do you know their podcast? A
couple months ago.
Endless Honeymoon. I mean, if you like us, you'll love Endless Honeymoon, because they out here answering questions, giving people advice, and they be getting some real wild questions up in here, okay? Mm-hmm. Also, perhaps you've seen the Honeymoon stand-up special. Yes, their special. I said their special.
Yes.
On Netflix. This is a couple who does it.
Did
this
I watch it? Did I watch it being like, oh, I hope we're not stepping on what they're doing? We're not Naomi.
There's room for all of us. There is room for all of us.
Well, some of us, but definitely the four of us. There's definitely room for the four of us.
Absolutely. This is also a couple where they're both authors. I mean, my God. Okay. Stand-ups, hosts, actors, authors. Now, Moshe has a book called Casher in the Rye, which Andy swears by.
Yeah.
Natasha has a book that came out just at the end of last year called The World Deserves My Children. Get that book. Natasha is the best.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm going to say, because look, without further ado, quite frankly, I still don't even have a wedding dress in my hands yet, and it's March 6th. So you know what? Andy, just say the words. Let's get to the app.
Roll it. Well, we should set the scene. Today, we're recording on Valentine's Day, so you know what all of our relationships are like. And this is your third podcast of the day.
Not only is this our third podcast of the day, but as soon as we log off with you, we are headed down to the Orpheum Theater for the Chosen Comedy Festival, where we will be on a lineup of 14 Jews in front of 2,000 probably Orthodox Jewish audience members. I'm preparing for a bomb.
Wow. Wait a minute. I need to
modern Orthodox, I assume?
I would hope so. Yeah, I would hope so.
They're not going to separate the women from the men in the comedy thing, are they?
I'm just learning that the audience is going to be comprised mostly of Orthodox Jews. And I also looked that I'm 15th on the lineup. So I'm not that psyched. But I guess bombing with you on Valentine's Day, that's kind of romantic.
Yeah, it'll be nice for us to both drive home asking each other if we should have done this career in the first place. That'll be kind of a fun zone.
Can we talk about why you chose this tonight in the first place?
And money.
Okay, well, that's the right there. Because I wonder, because I guess what I was asking is too about, again, you two, famous comedians, known, and I say that not, I'm not being sarcastic, especially to the point where Andy's parents saw our appearance on Endless Honeymoon.
Oh, wow.
No.
You didn't tell us you were on, and we're like, we didn't think of, you know, because like, y'all are people we know. We're not like, and it's like, if Norma Beckerman knows about a pod,
can I just put this out there? I started a podcast that's still going. I started in 2010. As of 2019, they still thought that a podcast was a video, like videos. I was making like comedy videos or something.
Dude.
And never asked, never looked online, first of all. And then also never asked me about it. So for them to know and watch you...
All right.
I'm impressed. I mean, try having a deaf mom. I've been trying to explain the concept of podcasting to my deaf mom since the technology was invented. I'm like, you know, radio, kind of. I mean, it's very difficult to translate. And by the way, you, Naomi, you saying that we're just people you know, I did notice when you guys came over and did our podcast how normal you were acting and not nervous the way most people are around the two of us. You know, you guys were, it was really cool and a testament to your down to earthness. You know, you didn't let our thing kind of freak you out, you know?
Wait, I have a question. Naomi, did Andy get you anything for Valentine's Day?
Oh no. Let's move on to a new question.
No, he did not. But also I didn't get him anything. So it's all good.
Yeah, what'd you get me, Natasha?
I got you an almond croissant.
A bear claw. And she's out here like, where are my flowers and my diamonds and my Russell Stover's chocolates?
Okay, did you get it for Valentine's or you just got it this morning and then remembered it was Valentine's and said you want a bear claw?
Here's the thing. I don't like to waste time like trying to go to a shop to get something specific. Like I'll just eat whatever. And today, because it was Valentine's, I'm like, okay, I'll find a parking spot. I'll go to this Village Bakery. I'll get him this because he liked it. So likes it. So I did actually go out of my way for you.
Well, I love you and I appreciate it. And I do think that she just was like, "Ooh, that looks good. I'll call it a Valentine's Day gift."
I believe Natasha's interpretation and her mindset behind the event to make
Thank
a concerted
you.
Effort to get food. I mean, that's something I do all the time because, you know, food is one of my few joys in this life. But, you know, people who aren't about that, if you're like, I am going for this, I understand. That's an investment.
Can you rattle off your joys in this life on one hand?
Food, you, the animals.
That's it.
Comedy?
Doing, come on.
Doing it. Yeah. Doing it to when me, it's not bad.
To me, comedy is church. It is
Moshe.
Me telling my truth. It is the new philosophy that I'm one of the new philosophers.
Oh, I 100% agree. I think stand-ups are like preachers and philosophers kind of together.
Amazing. Are you guys going to check out the Tucker Carlson documentary on how comedy's in trouble coming out this Wednesday?
Yeah, I actually did a segment. It was me, Chris D'Elia, and
Gutfeld.
Which one? Yes, the Gutfeld.
The new king of late night, Gutfeld himself.
Exactly.
I'm having a sober February, and I have to say, my joys are much less.
Like, yeah,
I'm realizing some of my joys are definitely
her five would
imbibing.
Be like, her five would be like red wine, white wine, rosé, a Chianti because I am Italian, and an occasional spritzer mixed in.
Well, no,
I thought
but...
you were really going to add your daughter into one of those five, Moshe. It was going to be red, white, rosé.
You know our daughter's name, right? It's Chardonnay.
Okay, I have to tell you, I dated a guy. He was in AA, and he had broken up with a woman named Chardonnay. I said, you may be dating a Chardonnay now. You shouldn't have been dating a Chardonnay in the first place.
I don't know.
She was a white girl.
I see the logic behind being in AA and dating a Chardonnay. It's like, you know, if I can't have my true love, if you can't be with the one you love, love the one you're with, you know?
But that is so rude.
What?
To name your child after alcohol.
Oh, you think?
Yes, for sure. Destiny.
This is my son, Mezcal.
Little White Claw.
I have... That's a great name for a kid.
Yeah.
I have two major questions.
Major, okay.
Okay.
Major questions. One, because we are recording this on Valentine's Day, and it seems like the four of us, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because we're normal, civilized people. We're not like, we're not in the dregs of basicness. You know, we're not, we don't want to spend all this money on a prefix dinner. Like you're, it's like kind of a ripoff, right? It's just, Valentine's Day is a little basic. Right?
Yes. Yes.
We're too absolutely. Cool for that. Okay, go ahead with your question.
Are there holidays that do have meaning for you? Are you, for me, holidays don't have much meaning, period. They are, for whatever reason, my brain doesn't attach to symbolic stuff very often. Like, I don't visit graves. There's nothing interesting about it.
Graves in general. General graves. I'm not visiting graves.
I remember the last time I went, my parents to go, like, visit, like, the graves of, like, their parents and things like that. And I'm just like, okay. But I'm wondering.
What about Jewish holidays? Do they have no meaning for you?
Yeah, what about Jewish holidays? And by the way, depending on how you answer it, I will be reporting this stuff to the Chosen Comedy Festival tonight. So just kind of choose your words carefully.
Are they? Well, they already don't think I'm Jewish. They're Orthodox. They don't think that I'm Jewish anyway, so.
Oh, are you a dad Jew?
They're like, yeah, that checks out. What's that?
Are you a dad Jew?
What's that?
I'm Reform.
Oh, they think you're Jewish. They just think you're a bad Jew. Don't ever say that about yourself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
As long as... I was told, I remember I had a lot of resentment early on because I was told that Orthodox Jews, maybe it was Hasidic Jews, did not think I was Jewish.
I don't think that's true. That just sounds like a mean rumor that some bullies on the playground told you.
The Hasidic bullies.
Yeah. I've been bullied by Hasids my whole life. You know, when I was a kid, we used to go to my dad lived in a Hasidic neighborhood. My dad was an Orthodox Jew, but we would play dodgeball. It would be the ultra-Orthodox kids versus the really religious kids. So everybody on our side of the team, you would have been like, whoa, those people, wow, look, they're very religious. And that's little baby Moshe. He seems like he'll be a comedian someday. And then the other people would have looked at our side of the team as like the modern ne'er-do-wells. Like they were like Yiddish as a first language speakers, talking like characters from Dr. Zhivago. And that would be the dodgeball situation.
You could just hear like, you could make out Shonda. And
they were huge Scandal fans. They loved Shondaland. Yes, they did. That was the one indulgence. Yeah.
Right. They were talking about Bridgerton. Sorry.
To answer your question, I really like New Year's Eve because I feel like there's something sort of telling you about your future. What's the word? I like to set the tone for my year. So I like to like think about where I'm going to place myself and what I'm going to be doing and, you know, try to make it this fortuitous thing that's like, oh, I'm here in this situation. Oh, and I also like this New Year's Eve after we did our show, we do a show in San Francisco. I thought this was cute. Moshe, I wanted to go hang out with some friends, and Moshe decided to go charge the Tesla while I went and hung out with my friends. So then at midnight, 1 a.m, he's like at the Tesla charger while I was hanging out with Sabrina and Nick Thune in their hotel room. And then you came and picked me up. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Well, it was with the kid. So we had the kid at the show and she was delirious because it was after midnight. And I said, you go hang out with your friends, have a real New Year's Eve, and I'll go hang out at a parking lot in Oakland charging this Tesla with our child in the back, and I'll have my own little New Year's.
And that's the tone I'd like to set for the rest of the year.
Yes, you doing your thing. But exactly. That's funny that you say you like New Year's, because it's funny, because I feel about New Year's, like New Year's and Valentine's are the same for me in that sense of like everybody's out those nights and the prices are inflated, so I don't like it. Whereas, but I will say this, it's funny you say that, Andy, because I do remember when we went to Moshe Natasha's Hanukkah party, that was meaningful for you because we did talk a lot about community here and I was always surprised because you know, as Andy says, he's all like, I'm reform, it's no big deal. But I think simply living in New York, where there are a lot of Jewish people, did a lot of the heavy lifting of feeling part of a community that since being here you haven't felt.
Yes.
That's so nice to hear that you had, because I do try to make have everyone sing the songs, even though it feels kind of awkward, because, you know, I think the Jewish people appreciate it because sometimes we'll have friends and they'll be recording it to send to their mom. Just to prove that they're doing something Jewish. You know what I mean?
I'm a big believer in infusing sincerity, even amongst comedians, into things like that, because it's so easy to dip into cynicism and having everything be a joke, that to the extent that we can, that is the reason that we always make a point of really lighting the candles when we have a Hanukkah party. It's not that I'm religious as much as I think it's nice to punctuate these comedic kind of gatherings with moments of okay, let's try to shift into a mode of sincerity. And I do try to have, the truth is Natasha's New Year's Eve, for me, Yom Kippur actually has meaning. It's kind of the way I do it with everything in Judaism is I don't believe it, but I ascribe to it because I can find meaning in it. And so the idea of a yearly holiday where I can do introspection, look at the places that I kind of went wrong, and then symbolically emerge clean the next day. I like that idea that every year I go, I forget everything that I made a mistake doing last year, and now I've got a clean slate. I like that sincerely, and I like Passover too sincerely for a similar reason. I like to think every year about the privilege that I have. I'm not to drop the P word this early in a podcast, but you know how lucky I am and how lucky we all are kind of in this world, and how there are people that aren't as lucky and people that are living in subjugation of various degrees of I feel like there's a lot of power in an annual ritual where you think about where you are and how there are people are suffering and that you're, I don't know. Yeah. So
that's
I
the one where sincerity. You can't eat.
No. You eat on Passover. You don't eat on Yom Kippur.
Dude, I did a Yom Kippur once and it is the sickest I've ever been. And I wasn't thinking I didn't drink or eat.
Right. She didn't realize she couldn't have wine the whole day. No. She thought that it was a fast with wine.
No, I would have been fine just fasting, but I also didn't drink water. And there was a point towards 8 p.m. We were walking down Wilshire and I felt like one of those people you see hunched over all the way. And I couldn't even see one step in front of me. And then by the time we got home to eat some pizza, it was too late and I just passed out at home. I mean, it was the sickest I'd ever been. I had a horrible headache. I couldn't move. And then that kind of ruined the holiday for me.
Well, you know who loved it?
Why?
God. Oh, God loved watching that suffering. God, to that year, Natasha won Yom Kippur.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. God gets off on the suffering.
He loves it. He loves it.
But it's so funny you say it, because Natasha, my first Yom Kippur, we went to Andy's parents' house. And again, this is relatively early in our relationship. And I said, don't bring me around on a day that I can't eat, drink, or apply lotions. Okay? Because I'm just going to do nothing. So I said, Andy, you want me around your parents hungry and ashy. And I always joked that I had a sandwich hidden in the toilet tank. Because I was like, how am I going to get through this? Because they were like, you don't have to fast. Again, me not being Jewish. They're like, you know, you. But I felt like I can't be around hungry people eating. Do you know what I mean? Like opening up the fridge, being like, what am I going to make?
And oh, I think that, chips into your mouth.
That's one of the great, and just like, mwah. I feel like that's the great privilege of being a Jew around non-Jews on Yom Kippur. You can really rub it in their face.
And she was trying to make a good impression.
I get it.
And you did the thing, right? I was trying to be cute and good. And then I was like, never again.
It was too early on in the relationship. If you came to my parents' house for Yom Kippur now, you would just like have like a medieval king, a giant
a turkey leg, yeah, like, just gnawing on a turkey leg the whole time, being like, you guys are really doing it.
Well, medieval turkey legs are difficult for us because it brings up a lot of historical intergenerational trauma to think about medieval times and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing I wouldn't recommend. Any mead related beverages or anything like that, it just brings up a lot of bad stuff for us.
Yeah, Spanish Inquisition, getting kicked out of Spain.
That's right.
Et cetera, et cetera.
You have a second major question I don't want to lose because I have a question of my own.
We've tipped over into it because I am curious. Natasha, you converted, correct?
I did.
What was that process like for you?
It was 19 four-hour classes by Rabbi Neil Weinberg. And he was very passionate about converting people in LA, so much so that if you wanted to convert in like 3 weeks, you could, because he had a class available every night of the week.
Whoa.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and I think we went twice a week. Moshe came with me. It was really sweet that you came.
Oh, I mean, we described the demographic as, it was interesting, Andy, because as a Jew, you never are in the convert. Why would you be in the conversion classes? So it was interesting to be on the other side of the curtain to see what's going down. The demo in that particular program was a few individual spiritual seekers, a couple of young couples like Natasha and I, and then about 18 super hot Maxim model type, like Latina ladies and like 85-year-old Sparty men in Bentleys picking them up after the class. And they never showed up. And there were all these like Israeli guys that were like in $125,000 cars.
Oh,
just
picking my God.
Getting the women to convert. But, you know, I liked it. I liked the, you know, he said the hallmarks of Judaism are Shabbat, Tikkun Olam, which I liked, which is world peace.
To heal the world.
And
make
then
it a better place for you and for me and for the entire human race. I mean, there is a choice we're making.
And to procreate. That's what he said.
Fucking.
And
Wait, that's what rabbi said?
Yeah.
No, he said to procreate.
Yeah, but there's an implied fucking in that, right?
And I felt like, you know, I was converting to Judaism because we wanted to have a kid. And I knew it was important to Moshe that the child had some Jewish values. So I figured it would be easier for me to contribute in that way. And also just having spent Shabbats with him, I sort of fell in love with that idea of like, it just feels like Judaism kind of keeps men home with the family more. It's kind of this built-in, and I was just observing it and his cousins and his relatives and other Jewish people I knew, and just something about the observance of it, and in Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof, something about that, it does feel, I don't know, it's a very family-oriented religion. And, you know, I come from a dad who left my mom when I was little, and I was a latchkey kid, and we never had any rituals or any kind of, any kind of traditions. And I was really attracted to that part of it. And because I had nothing in that world to add that into my life felt like something positive.
Couples therapy is a hardcore Jewish evangelism podcast. I don't know if you misunderstood the theme, but yes, okay.
No, I sound hardcore?
No.
I mean, I'm just letting you know.
No, I don't think you sound. No. I mean, I'm just feeling Jewish self-consciousness at all we're talking about. Is
oh,
this...
don't worry. We did a Valentine's Day show on Sunday wherein Andy managed to bring up Shoah within the first
three okay. minutes. Okay. The said, documentary?
To... Yes. And they were like, how did we get to Holocaust? Like in the chat, because it was an online show, and people were like, how did we get here?
It's always it's always one little you want one little conversational nugget away. You want to hear a crazy Holocaust factoid?
Sure.
It's not – it didn't happen the way that they say it did. No. I – watched a movie the other night. Randomly, my friend Andrew came over and we're like, let's watch a movie. And I'd been trying to, get him to watch this movie, Europa, Europa. Have either of you seen Europa, Europa? It's a great movie,
I
hadn't watched it in like 20 years. And I was like, why don't we watch why don't we watch Europa, Europa? So we watch Europa, Europa. And it's this crazy story about this Jewish kid in Germany that, through a insane set of circumstances ends up falling in with the Hitler Youth, posing as a native German and hiding in the Hitler Youth, which is how he escaped, being killed in the Holocaust. And it was such a crazy story that I was like, I gotta look this guy up because I've been burned before. There's this book called, The Painted Bird by Jerzy Kaczynski. It's a great book, but the guy got in all kinds of trouble because he made a bunch of the shit up and it wasn't really true. I'm like, this story is too crazy to be true. I got to look him up. I looked the guy up. He had died 5 days earlier. He was 97 years old. And it felt spooky. Like this guy's story I was like observing this guy's story, like the week that his family was sitting in Israel, sitting Shiva for him. I don't know. There was something about it that really made my skin, my hair stand up in a nice way. So the Holocaust is a great and beautiful topic for us.
Great, beautiful topic.
I bring it up all the time. Well, I mean, mostly because I was taught about it when I was about 6 years old. And so.
Really?
So, yeah. So my entire sense of identity is built in with the fact that a large portions of the world wanted to destroy my.
You want
to
hear another crazy little factoid Holocaust thing, and then we can move on from the topic or spend the rest of the hour talking about it. Another interesting coincidence, Holocaust-wise, during the State of the Union. My brother was watching the State of the Union with Uncle Joe, and in walks Bono, and then in walks Kamala's husband, Doug Emhoff.
Doug Emhoff. Ella.
And then in walks randomly our cousin Ruthie, who is a Holocaust survivor, also 97 years old, who'd been invited by Joe Biden to come sit in the State of the Union. Who survived Auschwitz, who's like this tough, cool lady that's now a docent at the Holocaust Museum. And it was like a random, that's our cousin right next to Bono.
And the best thing about your cousin is that she was...
the best?
Well...
I know where you're going with this. And it's not the best.
It's the best thing that she was saved.
It's definitely the most interesting.
She was saved... in an oven, like she found her in an oven.
She was hiding in apparently.
And
according
she was saved.
According to family legend, she was hiding in the oven when they found her. So pretty hardcore life. God. Pretty tough lady.
Okay. Did Biden like show like, hey, look at America today? Does this seem familiar at all?
She was there.
But now here's my thing. I'm going to say when you said she's a docent, can you imagine if you get to the Holocaust Museum, you the school group on a day Ruthie is there? Okay, you there for the banger, okay? Because not all the docents are the champ. Not all the docents were there. I want to be at the museum the day she is there.
Yeah, they're like, well, you could go with Madison. She's 19, and she's a Jewish studies double major, along with internet editing, TikTok video editing. Or there is Ruthie, who was found in an oven. What's your choice to be?
We were gonna name our kid after Ruthie because she was found in the oven.
That's right. Wait,
Andy, did your parents tell you that about it, or was that from Hebrew school?
Yeah, I think it was religious school. I think we, like...
Can we not do that?
Why would you want to not do that?
Because he's saying it traumatized him.
Did it traumatize you?
No more than living in the world traumatized me.
But it framed your worldview at such an early age. Are you saying... Because basically, I think
so did being, like, one of the only Jews in... my school. So like
maybe it's different. If you have a Jewish community and you hear about it early, maybe you might have a little more hope. But yeah. If you're the only Jew and you're hearing they're trying to kill you.
Maybe it's too much.
Maybe then you start looking at all your school chums with the
chums. He's British now. Okay. Before we answer people's questions, here's something because I've always thought about you. I've been dying to know. You two are fools like us.
We're straight fools.
In that You are lovers who choose to work together. Mm. We talking, as you said, New Year's Eve show together with the baby and the Tesla. Thank God you didn't get robbed that night, Moshe. Mm-hmm.
Thank God the Tesla.
Are people robbing? Are people robbing Teslas?
Well, I just mean like it's a fancy car. Like I'm like you're in a parking lot at midnight, right. In a fancy car.
Yeah, if I'm gonna rob someone, I'm looking for the Tesla owners.
The thing is, I think that like people see that now that Elon has revealed himself to be so like tough and cool. I don't think people will fuck with the Tesla owner. You know, we're like a community now, you know?
Right, you're a community. Also working on Valentine's Day, doing Endless Honeymoon Pod, you know, and then choosing to be around each other and have fun. You know, yes, did it take 12 and a half weeks to schedule you on this podcast? Yes. But that's because you have so much, you know, and again, raising a kid, like y'all co-work in every facet. And Andy and I are the only fools I know who do that. And so this is so nice to have some other fools. How did this come to be? Was this something you wanted, you know, in choosing a lover who shares your work? Is it just, was it all just kind of organic? Again, you choose a person because, you know, you think they're funny and smart. So then, of course, it makes sense that you would do stuff with them. Talk to me.
It's definitely a challenge because there's so many things I want Moshe to do that don't have to do with scheduling, getting back to people, figuring out when we're going to do our podcast. You know, I want him to take out the garbage. I want him to watch our kid. I want him to feed the dogs. I want him to close the cabinets. I need to help him find his wallet. Like, there's so many annoying things that are happening throughout the day, and then adding on all of the rest of it is a little much. But I have to say, it does feel organic because I never really thought about it. And I do kind of like making money on Valentine's Day, on New Year's Eve type of thing, because mm-hmm. like you can make more money on those days.
Well, that's what I was going to say is, it actually answers Andy's question earlier is, I love as a comedian that these weird artificial dates where you're like having pressure to do a thing, that as comedians, it's like, if I can work New Year's and I can work Valentine's, whatever the day is, mm-hmm. I feel like, okay, I did a thing. I got paid to do a thing. I participated, but I also, I did my mission in the world. There's something about that that I really like, that the pressure is off because we work those days. Mm-hmm. Working together, Natasha, yeah, is right. There's a lot of scheduling stuff and a lot of stuff that doesn't have to do with the career that we want from each other. And it can be hard to find time to like be a regular couple. And Natasha, it's harder than Natasha was saying because she's a 3 mL a day, a person, three make loves. And that's like for me difficult to keep up with, you know, like, and I'm talking every day without like every day, Yom Kippur, after the death of loved ones and stuff like that. She's just like a straight freak. She's just like every day it's got to be
probably
3.
Increase after the death of a loved one.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that'll be a 6. That'll be a 6er to distract. But what I will say is touring. Natasha likes touring less than she used to, but touring specifically, it was such a cheat code for touring because my experience, like, I don't drink. I'm in a relationship. The road is like boring and lonely. Mm-hmm. And,
when you can't fuck the waitresses.
And yeah. And so when we figured out this thing where we could go on the road and do our show on the road is like, she does a half hour. I do a half hour, and then we do a half hour of like bringing couples up and kind
of
doing roasty couples counseling.
Yeah, we see
stuff.
The special on the Netflix, so, everybody. So,
well, that's just a iteration of this like organic touring thing that we did. To me, that was like, oh my God, I just figured out the whole game. Like, we get paid more, we have more fun, there's less pressure, the shows are easy, and we're hanging out with.
But now we have a kid, so it's not easy anymore. That worked for like until we had the child.
Even that, like, our kids slept in a few green rooms, and there's something I like about that. Something very romantic about that to me.
A few bathrooms.
Yeah.
Get them an order of mozzarella sticks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let them go to sleep.
Yeah. We would puree them and put them into the bottle and stuff and be like, this is your future, you know?
It's so salty.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Just a cheese, just a soft curd.
But hearing you say this, Naomi, I'm like, oh, maybe we don't have to work together.
No, I'm not trying to rip you apart. I'm just, again, because it's like Andy and I, you are honestly the only other comedy like couple I know who you know, work as much, because I think, and you know, we talk a lot about this on the pod, so I don't need to belabor it, but like just to tell you guys, you know, it's something Andy and I have really dealt with, our enmeshment, and a little bit of that is certainly compounded by living in LA where we don't have the same social circle. And certainly people know us as a unit, right? Like, for the most part, we do stuff. In New York, we were a lot more like going out and about and stuff. And it's like, you used to have your friends, I have mine. And here, we're much more of a unit. And so, again, I was joking about it, but I totally get it. Like, when you got so much stuff to plan and then trying to, like, book a podcast where you're like, I got 12 other things that have to happen. And there are times where it's like, I just don't want to ask him that question right now. When do we turn off
that's the same
from
thing
the
for,
work
yes,
mode?
That's the same thing with you. Where I'm like, there's times where I'm dreading asking you, like, we have to, there's this thing that has to be done for the show. And I literally, like, wait till the last minute because I'm dreading, because I'm like, we're just eating dinner now. Can we just eat dinner? Can there just be
it's
a moment
really
where
hard.
We just eat dinner?
And I think if it, you know, we did have a situation on another period where we would work together all day long. And we did have a rule where when we crossed the threshold of the place where we shot, we would stop talking about it from, like, you know, 8 p.m. until the next morning. And I think that really helped, like, because I think we were noticing it was all we were doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you do have to establish those kind of boundaries. Something I hate, though, is when people are, like, asking me his schedule. Because it's like, he doesn't even text me back. Like, how would I know his schedule?
Oh, I do this performative ignorance thing. Because people, when they ask me to do a set around town, I would say 2/3 of the time, it's like, we'd love to have Natasha too. And I'll do this, like, performative ignorance where I'm like, oh, I don't really know.
I don't even know if she's in town.
I don't know where she's at. Like, I can't. You might want to ask her. She seems like a person that would love to. I don't know. And she's literally right next to me. I'm texting with her in bed. I could just turn
and
over.
And you know what's easy is the answer is always no.
Yeah.
Always.
Wait, before we answer advice questions, I just want to ask, Natasha, have you dated Jews before? And Moshe, have you dated Gentiles before?
I've definitely dated Jewish people. I think that is where I started to come to my realization, because I guess it was either, like, for me, it was musicians or Jews. And after dating enough musicians, I was like, oh, like the overly emotional, all about me, like that kind of thing. Like, I kind of liked the idea of a guy who wants me to, like, tell him what to eat. And
you want him home on Friday night. You said
he's home on Friday night. Yeah. He's home on Fridays.
If there was just a vague.
Needs a lot of support.
A vague essence of beta male. Natasha was interested. Like, if it just had an ambient kind of mist of beta around.
I like that. Uh-huh. But Jews have that.
Books or guitars. Just a kind of a vague feeling of, I need my mommy.
And the Jews are a little more clean than the musicians.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And definitely less emotional, more neurotic. But yeah, I think that I've definitely dated Jews and liked it.
And Andy, I've dated everybody, but it really depends on what you mean by dated. Natasha's the first serious relationship I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Yeah. I would say that's
God,
fair.
Oh, my God. We should have started there. God damn it.
Wait, what was different? Okay. Well, yeah. Let's just very quickly. What was different about Natasha than your previous?
I'm extremely tolerant.
The butt. Her butt. The butt.
You never dated a girl with a big butt?
I mean, not yours.
That is so sad if that is true, that is all that it takes.
That was it. Once I saw it, I was... No, I... It's a long story, obviously, but I was a person that was very unlucky in long-term relationships. I'd gone to therapy about it, and I'd done the work. But, but then when Natasha... was single and we started to flirt, like, I entered into it because I knew my track record, I entered into it very trepidatiously. I was what we call in the Jewish faith a slut. And Natasha and I didn't sleep with Natasha for a long time. It was
Natasha,
my...
Did you sleep with him?
Well, I was kind of...
He didn't sleep with you.
Well, what I'm saying is I declared we weren't doing that kind of a thing.
And I was coming from a totally different place where, like, I had come out of a long-term relationship and it had been 8 months, and that was a pretty long time of being single, like, from what, because I was always kind of jumping into relationships, even if I didn't really like the guy, I was just always in a relationship. And then I was like, okay, I should have sex with somebody.
Oh, so wow.
I was like, it was between Moshe and one other person. So
who's the other person? Just real quickly, who's the other person?
And then I was like, okay, I guess I'll do Moshe. But then he was kind of like, more serious. So maybe that's why it works.
Well, my whole thing was that I was like, I knew my track record, which was that I would get into a situation and then I might fuck it up by adding sexuality to the mix. And so I was, because Natasha was a peer and a coworker and a friend, I was like, it's not worth it. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. even the butt is not worth like making some awkward situation with a peer and a friend. So I'm going to wait until I'm sure I have these feelings for her. And she was not, you know, she, much like, you know, every woman I've ever dated, was just absolutely like crazed with sexual desire for me, just absolutely like salivating. And I waited and I waited and I waited.
Y'all should see Natasha's face. Natasha's giving us the side eye of Felicia Rashad right
now. By the way,
hello, Felicia.
Hello, Felicia. Yeah. So I waited. And then once I knew, then things happened and the rest is history.
Was the waiting something that was born out of sobriety? Like you had that you had,
you had the strength in you. You're someone who knows how to abstain.
No.
No. The sluttery was something born out of sobriety, to be perfectly honest.
Like, I think Moshe was probably realizing he was 35, 36, maybe older, 38?
35. I don't know. Yeah.
35. And like not having had like a serious relationship ever. And so he was probably feeling like that cherry had to be popped a little bit.
And she popped my cherry and she was gentle. And that was really nice. She was really sweet about it. And I'll always remember that. I mean, I was learning lessons like basic stuff. Like,
no birthday present.
Well, that, how to be a good partner in a relationship, which I guess Natasha would say I'm still working on. But, you know, like little things like that. I just didn't know because I'd never, I mean, it's not really an excuse.
What do you mean? Like you wouldn't get a birthday present.
He'd be like, I just don't really believe in presents.
Well, I just was so used to living according to my own kind of like me in charge of me rules with nobody else to think about. And that was what kept me comfortable and kept me.
He's like, flowers are just like dead detritus.
I still believe that, but I've now learned she loves them. And so I try to remember.
Not me, any woman.
Anyone, but I don't buy them. I barely buy them for other
Probably any man except you.
What, you think a lot of men want a bouquet
Andy,
of
do you
flowers?
Like flowers?
Actually, I do.
maybe you could splice them.
We have cats, so we really can't have flowers. We always put flowers when people send them those. We put them in the vestibule. But it's a nice thing. You open the door, you come in. There's some flowers
he
there.
He does.
It's nice.
He goes, it smells so nice in the vestibule. I'm a little more on Moshe. I think I'm a little more like, they are nice. Don't get me wrong. I'm just like, oh, they're just going to die. So it's like nice for 3 days. You know what I mean? But receiving them is a very nice treat. Like I got birthday flowers from people. And I felt like Oprah.
Yes.
To get like a delivery of flowers feels very like,
whatever's like, it's like an internal feeling or something.
And I'm saying these were things I literally had to learn because I just was so used to being on my own. And other things like
not texting back for a really long time.
Right. That's something you do now currently.
Oh my God, Natasha, how did you handle that? Because especially if you're not having sex early on too, because I say, you know, somebody likes you when they're inside you. And when they spend time with you and like, when, right? So it's like those kind of things were, and then it's like, if I wasn't getting texted back, ooh, I would be spiraling. I'm just a spiraler.
Yeah, that was really annoying. I'm trying to think of what else you did that was annoying.
Well, that's not where I was going with this, but other things like.
Well, it was much different than what you do now that's annoying.
Thank you, honey. I appreciate that. Things like realizing a relationship is it's hard to articulate this, but a partnership.
Oh, money.
Hold on. Before you get into other things I do wrong. I mean, well, definitely money. Money was for sure an issue because I am much more frugal than Natasha is. And we had to figure that stuff out. And the idea of me also Natasha would lie about money. She would say, oh, no, that cost $7. No. The hotel that we stayed, the suite. In New Orleans we stayed at, oh, that was $100 a night. And then I would get a bill and I'd be like, it was.
From like, he got so mad when we stayed in New Orleans and I lied to him about how much it cost, even though I was paying for it. He still, or we were splitting it. So now every time I've ever checked into a hotel, I make him go somewhere else and I say to the person, I'm like, can you make sure that they don't put prices under the door? You know, like how they used to do the bills under the door.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They slip you
The check drop for the hotel.
Yes. Right. Because
it's hard to do well during that check drop. You know,
it's like there's all those added, like it is just expensive. Like it's like $30 resort fee. It's $50 taxes just to stay anywhere in Manhattan. They add $17 a night. Like it's just like all this stuff, you know? And I think that Moshe just likes to believe that that's not true.
Well, also it was not my comfort zone. We have a different relationship with money. It's just different. And so she had to teach me how to come to her, take a step towards her. And I had to teach her how to take a step toward me. You know, like she doesn't like camping and that, like we would do this thing where if I wanted to go camping, I see the look on your face, Naomi, you love camping. I can see it.
Well, I'm saying you love camping. You got Natasha's ass to Burning Man pregnant. So talk about taking steps.
That wasn't a step. It was a mistake. But like we would do this thing where if I wanted to go on a camping trip, we would do like in my RV, we would do like 3 days camping, 1 day at a really nice hotel. We would find these ways to like, here are the rules. When it comes to hotels, when we go traveling together, she pays for the hotel because I physically can't. It panics me. Even though in the end, the money is the same, I pay for the meals. Even though our money is shared, I pay for the meals because I can deal with the amount that's on a check. Even if it's 14 days in a row and it all adds up, I just can't deal with the check drop. It's too much. So we figured these kind of things out together.
Okay. Literally, I think we got to at least do one question because people are not going to.
Oh, sorry. There's questions.
Well, because I mean, I go, well, no, because obviously, look, we got Endless Honeymoon on here. Y'all answer questions all the time. You save lives. And so there's no way we can have you on CT and not answer some questions. So we're going to take a quick break and then we will be back to help you out, honey.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
And we're back with Moshe Kasher and Natasha Leggero here to help you handle your scandal, honey. You're struggling.
I like that. Handle your scandal.
I had so many more questions, but this is the format of the show, so we have to stick to it.
You have to stick to it.
We are constrained by a creature we created.
It's called free content.
Yes.
Exactly.
We have created a Frankenstein, and he's holding us both by the throats. And saying, answer these questions. I think this is a fun one to start out with. Well, we only have time for one, so.
No, do as many as you want.
Hey, okay. At 5 o'clock, our kid just comes down. That's all.
Okay, you had to go somewhere and pick up. I didn't want her on the side of the road. You know what I mean? A little sad after soccer practice.
No, she's here. She's here. It's just she might be just.
It's all good. We can do it.
But
all
let right. me just, yeah, we're, it's not 5 o'clock yet.
Yeah, I know. Okay.
Kick it.
Anonymous from Gmail. I'm always excited when it's anonymous because I feel like it could be juicy because they're like, don't say my name. But we don't know. Let's see. Long story short, Long story short, I've been dating my partner for exactly a year now and working through long distance for some of it. Absolute best friend in the world, and he's supposed to be visiting me here soon. So he just found out via a family member that an old hookup of his gave birth a few months ago. to his child. Supposedly, they were hooking up right before he met me. She said she thought she was pregnant, asked him for abortion money after they both agreed they were not at all interested in continuing the pregnancy, and ghosted. He says they never spoke after that. But recently, this person finds my partner's mom on Facebook saying something like, "Come meet your grandson." My partner and this character have zero communication, have each other blocked on everything, etc. He very explicitly does not want children or to be involved. And same, we've agreed on this from early on. But I'm like truly gobsmacked, dumbfounded, flabbergasted. He says he's not going to be involved. I'm just not sure if that's easy. One thing I am damn sure about is that I don't want to end up a stepmom if this goes forward, and part of me is fixating on how close these timelines are, / I'm questioning some fidelity, which I've never had to do with him. Any thoughts would be greatly appreciated because my ass is lost. Okay, peace and blessings, babes. So I'm obsessed with this person already. There isn't an exact question. So just kind of the clear way is basically, current partner, the ex of the current partner is like, "Hey, I had a kid." As far as the partner knew, there had been a termination of the pregnancy. But obviously,
in fact, he gave her money in order to.
Well,
she took his half of the abortion money.
Well, asked him for the money, but I didn't know. They both agreed they were not at all interested in continuing the pregnancy. And then ghosted, meaning, and then she, I'm assuming she ghosted.
That's fraud.
That's money fraud. You're right, Andy. So that's,
I mean,
the problem.
For what? For $300? I mean, I think.
Is that how much it costs? That's it? $600?
Well, I don't think an abortion is like $12,000 these days, right, Andy.
I thought it was. Well, I don't know. I've never.
I think it's $1,000 or less.
So, okay. So this is the thing. And then, but then I think. So he says he doesn't want children. He says he's not going to be involved. I'm not sure if that's easy. So those are kind of the bits and pieces. What do we think about this? I mean,
well,
she's not really saying what she wants. They're not really saying in this question, like, what they're looking to do.
I do think I know it's hard for, this is a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
I do think it's easier. I know people who have men sperm donors, who have men who've given the woman their sperm, and they really don't care. Like, I do think that it's hard sometimes for a woman to wrap her mind around that someone would not want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. But I think if the situation were reversed, it's a little more challenging for a woman. But I also have a female friend who has a really high IQ, and she, all through her 20s and 30s, she donated her eggs, and she got like a super, like, she got so much money, and she has like 12 kids in Australia or something. Yeah. And like, she just thinks it's cool, you know? And I, you know, to like spread her seed. And I do think that, like, it's not like it's completely unbelievable that someone would not want to be involved.
Yes. I'm having a hard time with the
timeline of it.
No, the timeline to me, my feeling is always, if anytime you're trying to look at, suss out details and your partner you've always trusted to be honest with you, and now you're like squinting at something, trying to find a lie. I feel like either you trust your partner or you don't trust your partner. Liars and cheaters, it's not like they one time in a vague way cheat once and then everything is perfect.
Yeah.
You'll figure out if this person's a liar and a cheater at some other time in your relationship. Either you trust him or you don't, that the timeline is clean.
I don't like it. I dated a guy once in Australia. He was a con artist. And I'll never forget this. We were sitting out at a cafe, and it was like one bad thing after another. Like, you know, "Oh, you can't answer the phone. Don't talk to my friends. Oh, I'm going out. You stay here." I was like clearly being lied to. But I remember we were sitting at a cafe, and this woman came up to him, and she was like, "Alex, your daughter's looking for you." Oh. And I was like, "What?" And he just kept repeating, "I have no child. That woman is insane. I don't have a child." And he just kept saying that. And every time I'd bring it up, I'd be like, "Why? What does she mean your daughter's looking for you? You know, it was like your adult daughter or something." And he's like, "God, that woman is insane. I do not have a child." But I just, like, I wanted to believe him.
But that's what I'm saying. He gave you 15 other widgets of disbelief in order for you to go, "This person's not trustworthy." My issue with this person is not the fidelity. It's that he's got a child that he's just like, oh, fuck it. I don't give a fuck.
That
like,
is
I don't,
a little bit of
I don't
an
care
issue.
At all. Like, there's no agreement.
Because he wasn't a sperm donor.
He wasn't a sperm donor. And he doesn't have the information from this woman, whether she's crazy or not, whether she's blocked or not. She doesn't have the information from this woman that she doesn't want help with this child. And I, maybe I'm old fashioned over here, but I think if you get a woman pregnant, whether or not you want to help support that child, you are ethically bound to that child until the woman tells you you are no longer ethically bound to this child, at least to send some money to be like, I want shit. I don't want anything to do. That's your kid, I think. I believe.
Well, this is what's tricky. This is the part that I found the most, like, this is where my little spidey sense tingles. The person who you say was not interested in continuing the pregnancy, the person, your partner says ghosted, found your partner's mom and was like, come meet your grandson? Those two things don't add up. You see what I'm saying?
A paternity test is definitely in order for sure.
Oh, 100%.
But I'm saying if you didn't want somebody in your life, why would you reach out to their mama?
Scam. It's a scam.
It could be
this
a scam.
It is a scam. Get Lacey on this one.
Lacey Mosley.
This is a scam.
I actually knew a person who was sleeping with someone and they had an unprotected dalliance for, and I'm not kidding, it was like a two-pump unprotected dalliance. Like, it was like they put, there was no condom.
Moshe, I'm sex negative. I can't be thinking
I'm
about
sorry.
Pumps.
I'm sorry. No pump. What I'm saying is, I'm just trying to give you a timeline, okay? So yes, they had the sex. There was things went into things, and then they went, wait, let's put a condom on, and then they had sex with the condom. Mm-hmm. That's the only, that's the gray zone.
And that was their first time?
That was the only time that they slept together. Now, this person, the woman was called a few months later to my friend and said, I'm pregnant and it might be yours. And he was like, well, were you sleeping with anyone else? And she said, yeah, no, I was. I have my ex-boyfriend that I was with before you and after you that I've had hundreds of unprotected sex sessions with to completion. So it could be him too. And would you like to risk me carrying this child to term and you figure it out? Or do you want to pay for this, like, in utero paternity test? And he knew he was being hustled. He knew that this person was actually just trying to get him to pay so that she could prove to her current man that it was his kid. And it was very expensive. It was like $4,000 to do it.
Really?
before the child is born. The paternity test is very expensive. This guy, this deadbeat that she was sleeping with, wasn't going to pay for it. My friend knew he was being hustled, but he was like, I'm going to just be hustled because I would rather.
He paid $4,000?
He paid the money. Yeah. And of course, results came back. It wasn't his kid. And she was like, I knew it. And got to go to the guy she was dating and go, you better pay for your kid or whatever. But there could be some of that sort of stuff happening too.
If you are really strong and you really are suspicious of the timeline, I would try to remove myself from the situation for a few weeks and be like, you need to figure this out. You know, he needs to take the paternity test. He needs to figure out what's happening, because there's nothing worse than getting into a relationship with your partner and a crazy ex. And you know what I mean? It's like, and then all of your conversations are about this person, and it starts to almost become like this unhealthy threesome situation where it's like the other person is always present in the relationship.
Right.
I'm having an issue with the guy that finds out he has a child and his only reaction is, I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Even though they had an agreement, they had an agreement and he got screwed in that agreement, but there's still a kid out there. I think paternity test is the first thing to worry about. And the second thing is that you're dating a guy that's like, I don't give a fuck if I have some kid in some other country. I'm going to just keep playing video games.
But maybe he was just saying that maybe he was being over emphatic so that the writer, the person who wrote in, doesn't think that he is
that's true,
you know, unwavering in any way.
True.
But even that idea, like, I don't care, it is a weird tack to take, because there's what we say theoretically and what we feel in fact, right? So I get if you're somebody who's like, I don't want kids, we've made a decision, you know that about me. Well, now the situation has changed. And so, you know, it's like, to me, your person, because I do know what you mean, Moshe. It's like, yeah, we all agree we didn't want kids, but now you have a different situation. And
right.
Who is the person you're going to be? Because what you're also, because I think something like that does imply that this person when shit goes sideways, they don't step up.
And exactly.
They may not step up in other aspects of life together.
Exactly.
Like with you.
Yeah. Right. I didn't want a sick wife either. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Oh, I don't want anything to do with her. Bye. You know, it's like, yeah. There's a lot of iterations of shirking responsibility that I hear from that comment. At the very least, $500 a fucking month check being sent to, you know what I mean? At the least. That is literally the least you could do. So I'm sketched out.
I'm a little confused. I also want to know what was said to grandma. Like, I want to know the whole thing. Cause like to go to be like, I don't want to talk to you, but I am going to call your mother. Does feel like, it's like, did y'all know each other longer than I think? Do you know each other, you know, better than I think?
Exactly. You know? Cause men have this skewed thing where they're like, oh, I only sent her flowers for Valentine's Day. And, you know, sent her mother, some nice, messages and some, you know, it's like, they sometimes don't quite get it.
We're like, oh,
know?
Yeah, we hooked up for 2 years. It's like, right. Okay, 2 years have got to hook up. Okay.
Well, absolutely.
Moshe would disagree. But.
Absolutely. That's my longest relationship. Absolutely, I would say a paternity test. And if the woman says no to the paternity test, then you can wash your hand. Once somebody's saying no to a paternity test, you go, okay, well, let me know.
I will bet all my money that this is a grift.
Yeah,
I can smell the grift.
Right, but also our caller is being like, I want to be a stepmom. And that's where I'm like, you know, that's why, you know, that other what you said too, Natasha, where you're like, maybe take a few weeks and let this person sort it out.
Yes.
You know, she also says, we've been together exactly a year. You know, I don't know if y'all live together or not, you know, what that looks like, where it's like, hey, I think I would like to know if this child is actually yours, because whether you want it to be or not, it does mean something. Because trust me, people show up on people's door. My mother works in a damn family court. People show up who said they didn't want anything to do with you and will knock on your door when a kid is 7 saying, I need money, right?
Because yep.
Circumstances change. So whatever you want is actually don't matter that much. We need to know where this stands because you don't know where it's going to go. And so you can say that to this person. And based on how they handle it, based on, you know, what the situation is, then you can decide, you know, do you want to continue to be in this relationship?
Mm. Yeah, I don't like the feel of what he's doing.
Yeah, nobody, to be honest, this is nice because no one really is coming across as perfectly awesome here. I would say not even the writer is coming across as a saint here. It's just like,
oh, I love this writer though, because I really love that she wrote, I am gobsmacked, dumbfounded, flabbergasted.
Peace and blessings.
I live for a thesaurus moment. I love a thesaurus moment. When like one word is not enough, by the way, like, I'm mad.
That's why I paused earlier, because I was trying to think of another word for grift and scam. Flim flam.
Oh, yeah, yeah, those flim flam.
That's when you're trying to drive
you know,
it.
And I even take it back, actually, now that you mentioned how many different words she used for being surprised. She is okay, actually. She's not being...
she doesn't want kids. What's the big deal?
Exactly.
She doesn't want to be a stepmom.
She's not being the softest person in this, but she doesn't have to be. She doesn't want the fucking kids. She's dating a guy for a year. It's not that time. So I take it back and I apologize. I'm actually gobsmacked at my own judgment.
Uh-huh. Absolutely. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm fully flabbergasted, but I am
flummoxed.
Flummoxed. Thank you. I'm flummoxed.
But okay, last thing. I'm betting my own skeleton on this. That they are all being scammed by this
one. I'm with you on that.
Okay, because
what does she get out of it?
Like money.
Money.
Oh, right. Well, he's not going to give her money without a paternity test, is he?
Somebody would.
But this goes back.
But
to
it right. happens. It's. I've heard other podcasts.
That's how Andy knows people.
Where like it's happened. Where they have scammed the person. The person did not ask for a paternity test, and then they got.
I got one right now. Okay.
Right.
This person says, "Hey. You give me $30,000, I go away forever. Or we can do the paternity test, find out for sure if it's your kid, and then this kid and me are in your life forever." I mean, there are many people out there that be like, here's the fucking money, please
leave
me alone.
But people don't
have... Right, the lump sum or the annuity. They say lump sum, honey.
But people don't have $30,000.
Hey, somebody does. This guy got someone in a far-off land that we don't know what land that is, pregnant. He might be an international jet setter.
Rough. Use a condom.
Okay, let's do one more. Do you want to do the voicemail?
Sure. This is a little
more
serious.
Or you tell me because you.
Well,
yeah,
it's a little more serious. What do you? I'll. Here's the choice. Do you want a voicemail that's a little more serious, or do you want another one that's we got from a DM or something that's a little more on par with this one.
I mean, I want them both. But
let's
hey.
Do the voicemail.
Okay, voicemail.
All right.
Let's see where they're at. Let's see where they're at all emotionally. Right. I do love the voicemails as always, you guys. I tell you, call me 323-524-7839. There's a 3-minute limit. You got to keep it together.
All right. Here we go. This is less than 3 minutes.
This is a good one, yeah.
Hi, Andy and Naomi and esteemed guest. I called earlier, and I'm not calling to be, like, annoying, I promise. But I don't have another outlet for this, so I figured I'd just give you guys a call again and give you an update, even if you don't play my message. I am married to a man whom I love, and I am myself a man. I say that with a little hesitation as I'm sort of uncovering my non-binary identity, but that's none of what is bothering me right now. I am very depressed, and I feel bad for bringing that to my husband and not giving him space to be happy when he's happy. I feel like I'm always a downer. I feel like I am, just bringing the room down constantly. And it's gotten worse. And, everything is going really well for us, all things considered. But nothing is, nothing feels good. And I come home from work and I'm just like a downer, and I don't know how to give my husband space to be happy and to have happy thoughts. And I want to make clear that he is not pressuring me to do this. He is lovely and he's very supportive. And I want to be nice to him and do something like not be constantly sad all the time around him. And so help, please. Yeah, thank you. I'll be listening, and I appreciate you all, even the mystery guest who I don't know. Thank you. Bye.
Well, you got good guests this time. Moshe and Tasha, get into it. Tell me, you got thoughts.
I just got to say, first of all, my gut instinct, this is a grift. This is flim-flam. This is not.
You're a damn
No, I will say, like, whenever people call about being depressed, I do feel like I'm giving advice from someone who's never really had real depression. So, you know, I do.
Wow. Stop bragging.
Well, because I feel depressed now too, but I also feel like I am able to try to find some kind of spiritual practice or, you know, like finding these simple practices, like not even like right now, like I'm always, I feel like I'm my daughter's bitch right now. Like anything she wants, I'm like, okay, okay. So like as a practice, almost like as a spiritual practice, I'm trying to tell her no. Even though that's not my instinct, I don't want to do it, but I'm just like making myself do it because I don't want her to be a brat. And I am seeing that like long term, Moshe has got me to see that long term, that is not good to have someone like always be doing whatever they want. So like I'm going against my instincts. So I guess what I'm trying to get to is there a way for him to go like fight some of these instincts to bring the house down and almost as like a spiritual practice, try to, I don't know what it would be, but like say yes, you know, yes and go
opposite action.
Oh, is that what it is?
It's a lot of opposite action. That's, well, no, I'm saying you're right. I'm like, another thing is like taking opposite action. Cause certainly when you played this one, I said, oh, Andy, this for me. Lord knows I be bringing the house down with the vibe, okay? With the sleeping in the middle of the day.
That's actually, well, I will say this. If you, when you, there are like long periods where you are depressed, I would say the sleeping during the day is a good time to, where, because then the vibe in the house is neutral.
Right, right. It's almost my way. I honestly, a lot of my napping is both depression driven, but it also serves as a way to give us both privacy. If I go, again, we're in an apartment, like if I'm in the bedroom, it's like you kind of have the house to yourself. You can like do what you want. I can't hear. I'm not paying attention. I'm also asleep. So it's a little bit of a, it also kind of serves that privacy purpose. But I also think it is, you know, but I do say it's like I am someone like again, we do, Andy and I think I'm not a, well, I don't know, yeah, kind of a downer. You know, again, I've got a touch of comedy to it, so sometimes I can get away with it a bit longer.
Or you're like, I need to stream this TV show for my job, and then you can just, like, stay in bed for, like, 2 days kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. In a way, it's work, because I did do a beat sheet. But I, you know, this is what I mean by opposite action, where it's like, okay, I totally know what it is to have that downer feeling. And then, and this is what's so unfortunate sometimes about relationships, right? Your partner's the one who gets the real you, right? Because I bet at work, you put on a fake smile, you go with the flow, so that when you get home, you no longer have the bandwidth for it, more faking. And that is what can be very hard. And that's why I think, for instance, it is, as you're saying, it's like yes and, or opposite action, or simply like listening and saying stuff like, that sounds great for you, or I'm glad you're excited, or tell me more.
I'm glad you're excited about that.
I'm not excited about anything.
Just like that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'm glad one of us is thriving. But something to, you know, or just being like, yeah, tell me more. You know, ways you can almost, so that you don't have to say too much if you don't have the energy to be. It's like, tell me more about that thing, right? And listen actively and be in that. Or, you know, mirror the person you're with, right? And again, this is about, as you said, your partner's not pressuring you. This is not about them being like, God, you're such a downer. It's you feeling like you want to give them some goodness. Because I also think, too, being a good partner will help you feel good. Again, I'm not saying cure for depression. Come on now. But I'm saying it can give you some moments of levity and some feelings of, I am valuable. Look what I bring to this person. So it seems like that's what you're asking, right? How can I be a good partner even when I feel like shit?
I think that's really good. And I also, being a good partner, and maybe this is too corny, but when I've been in the worst place in my life, which is usually like feeling like, you know, I have no career. Like this was like, you know, trying to like get something going for myself. And it was so hard. And I felt like very, like so much despair. What really helped me, and maybe this, if you're clinically depressed, this makes no sense, but like, just like writing out every night, I had like this journal of like my, like what I was grateful for. And something about writing out the things, even if it was just like that delicious meal that he made, or my husband, my partner, and just even spending 5 minutes before bed, just like having your own little private journal of things you're grateful for. I started to find like each date I would come up with new things. And then what happens is throughout your day, you're like thinking of things like, oh, that was good. That was good. And you kind of have a record of it. So I really liked doing that.
I remember that. I read that.
No, that was before I met you.
No, I read it. And it was to all the Jews and musicians I've known before.
All the Jews I've loved before.
Wait,
to Netflix.
What musicians are, what kind of music are we talking? Are we talking like indie rock? Are we talking about like,
clearly.
What's the place?
Indie rock.
River
yeah.
Phoenix hung
the
out?
The Viper Room? No, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, Hollywood glam rockers. Room. That's who she went for.
No, definitely unsuccessful indie rock.
Oh, no.
All right, I have some thoughts here, and I do think I like every time you talk about depression, it always has to be given the caveat that let's assume this is what I was thinking. Let's assume that this person hasn't fully maxed out every single ability to do effort to fight the circumstances that they're in. So because anytime you give advice to a depressed person, it can be like, well, that's an incredibly privileged thing to say because I can't take any of these actions because of the depression. So assuming that there is more you can do, my thought was that the framework of what this person is saying they need is actually sounding to me like a manifestation of the very depression that they're trying to fight against. It's still framing, I am the piece of shit that comes to my house and rains diarrhea all over this loving, awesome man. I bring awfulness to the house. Here we go. I bring...
Okay, you guys, quick interlude by the beautiful child.
I like to sit right there for a second. Okay, honey, sit right there 1 second, then you can say hi.
We're almost done. Hold on.
No.
What I was saying was the idea that the real problem is in fact how awful of a partner you are to this perfect loving man is just a manifestation of the very depression that you're fighting against. And as they say in AA, it's an inside job. Like, it's not, you don't need to get better so that you can be, I mean, I'm not saying you don't, because I'm sure that there is truth to what this person is saying, that they are a difficult partner because their depression can manifest and spill out into the family and become a negative, gray cloud over the family. But in reality, the best work you can do for yourself and for your partner and for your life is to go inside, do what you can to treat the depression, medication, right, therapy, journaling, opposite action, all of these things, not so that you stop being such a terrible partner, but so that you can become a better person for yourself. You can become a happier person. You can fight against the depression if that is something that you're capable of doing. To me, that's the advice. It's stop focusing on what a bad husband you're being and start focusing on where you want to be as a person for yourself.
That's true. That's very, very true.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, that was good. That was worth.
Yeah.
A real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it's, if you're doing this for another person, it's not going to last. It has to be something that you manifest. It has to be a desire, an existential want for yourself to be better and to be, and to have a better relationship with the world in general. Then, because if you're just doing it for this other person, it, there's just a limit. There's always a limit to whatever that is.
Well, it's,
and there's
so
never a limit for your own existential growth and development.
There's also just to that sense of like it's attached to something. So how firm a foundation can it be? I think that's also true too, because like think about it. I know there are times, for instance, when we've gotten where I'll be like, I'm sorry, I'm such a piece of shit. And it's like, and you're always like, you're like, no, like, you know what I mean? Because it's like, no, that's not what I'm asking for.
100%.
Like, me saying I'm sorry, I'm trash is not helpful either.
100%.
Yeah, in fact, I, as the partner of someone who has depression, I don't want her saying these things. Because I don't see you like that. So when you say that stuff, it's don't vocalize it. Whatever you're thinking in your head, don't vocalize it. Because that, I think that,
and we're not saying repression. We're saying don't fuel the fire.
Right.
It's saying, meaning like, don't, you feel like shit. Don't walk around going, I know I'm trash or I'm so terrible. Because I really would do it. Like, I literally forgot to make an appointment for the dog, and I said, stupid bitch. And I meant it. And like Andy was like, no. He was like, Naomi, please don't.
It's okay.
He's like, that's not it.
It's okay. You can make the appointment today.
I say to Natasha when she says stuff like that about herself, I say, oh, don't talk about that person like that. I really like her.
He gets mad too. And that actually really helps me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's true. And so I think that's what you mean too when we're saying like don't talk about it. It's like, you know, don't give a lot of, and it's, and again, this is part of that fake it till you make it, what people say. Like, you know, we're doing some platitudes, but they're not platitudes as much as slogans, but like there is truth to it and there are things, you know, and I do like something like a gratitude list. Maybe that's something you can do between work and home, you know, something that kind of gets you, you know, when you kind of get off the clock and you know you're about to come in and you have a partner who's going to perhaps want some attention or at least to share with you, how can you sort of pivot? How can you get your brain in a different space for just an hour? Again, we're not, look, everything we're saying is not like, now you're good and you're fixed. And I say this as somebody who is in the struggle with you as well, but it can give you some moments of breathing room and calm and a sense that this is a process, and how I feel right now is not how I feel.
Well, exactly. Depression is a liar. Depression is not telling you the truth. Your mind is not telling you the truth. And it is possible that you are maxed out and can't get better, but you can't trust the voice that's telling you that you're maxed out and can't get better.
Yes.
There we go.
Depression is being grifted by your own brain.
That's exactly right. It's trying to convince you.
You knew it was a grift, Andy.
Yeah. It's trying to convince you that things are hopeless. And even if they are hopeless, it's still a lie. So you got to go find, if it's possible, and I know it seems like the voice is telling you that it's not, finding the absolute outer limits of your ability to fight against it and to treat yourself and to heal. That's what's going to make your relationship better. I think it's not figuring out how to, despite the fact that you're a piece of shit, conceal it and pretend to be a nice. I think opposite action is actually good advice, but I think also healing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, Moshe, Natasha. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This was worth every second. I appreciate you taking the time coming in. You know, I want the honeymoon to be endless. And this was just...
Do we sound like comedians who think that we're therapists? I hope not.
I mean, that's what they are. We're the same.
Yeah, that's what I am. I'm unlicensed. I say I'm unlicensed. Two unlicensed comedians. I'm cheap Ayanla, okay? I am if you want some help.
Alanya really helped me, too. I mean, that's the thing. Like, self-help is helpful. Like, I didn't come up with the gratitude thing. Like, someone said it, but, like, it really... You got to try different stuff. And, like, I do think that it can help, especially, like... getting it out on paper.
Yeah. And remember, this note started, he was like, I don't know where else to go with this. So we are doing it, okay? They said they wanted to talk, and I
have one last piece of advice for this person to cure your depression. There is a small child in an unknown European land that needs a dad right now, and I think you could be that dad. You just fly there, you reveal that you're the father, and I think all the problems are going to be solved.
Yeah, you know what? There's nothing that someone who is clinically depressed
than a child
more than introducing a child.
And there's nothing that a small child who isn't sure who their parents are needs more than a clinically depressed parent. It's perfect.
Well, thank you guys for having us.
Well, let's just keep...
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Let's just keep going on each other's podcast back and forth forever.
I think it should be once a year. We meet on this podcast. Both podcasts. You know what I mean? It's like a year. We check in. We see where we're at. Natasha and I really popped off. Our friendship really took off in January, y'all. Because we had two long days together. And it was just like, we just hear foxholes.
And that was fun.
It was fun. I felt like I got a new side of you.
Well, you too. And let's have a dinner. some parties soon.
Yes, we'll do it. All right, you guys. We're going to make these plans off mic, okay?
All right. Sounds good. We'll Thank you for having us, guys.
Okay, bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.